to another Genesis study. Genesis chapter 13. We'll be closing out our study of Genesis 13 this time. And want to give a hillbilly holler out to the Brandt family over in Indiana. And we know they listen and just want to give out a hillbilly holler. And also want to mention I'm wearing my shirt that the Allball family got me. Actually, a few weeks ago. It says, "We the people," you can see the lettering down here, "We the people, not we the government." Amen. As a lot of you know, I'm not real political because that's not our purpose. A lot of Christians gave up on the Great Commission and became a political arm of the Republican Party for the most part. The liberals have become a political wing for the Democratic Party. But we do believe in doing right. And the time we're recording this, it's December 2015, but the race is already heating up for the presidency coming in, the election coming up in November. And people are just, you know, jumping on board with political campaigns and rah, rah. Listen, folks, no politician going to save us from this mess. We're going to do the best we can in the circumstances we're in. And we're going to do what we can to tide the to stem the tide of evil. And then we're doing the same thing when it comes to the so-called religious world. And it comes to these new versions. You know, we're teaching the truth. Don't spend all my time trying to correct all the people using the new versions. Most of them won't listen. But if they'll listen and someone comes to me and wants to talk, then we'll talk. And so with that in mind, I want to start with a word of prayer. And then I want to give you a little something along those lines. Father, we thank you for this book. And we thank you for those who listen to this study and they actually do believe every word of the King James Bible. That's who this study is intended for. We're thankful for every opportunity to preach the truth about Jesus Christ and preach His gospel and also to preach the truth about the infallible Word of God to those who are in rebellion and those who are lost. But we treasure the opportunity to grow in the knowledge of your word, plain and simple, to put all these other things aside, put aside the politics, put aside the personal problems, the illnesses and ailments, the trials and tribulations, the economy, all these things, put it aside, and to open this book and learn. And so we ask, Lord, you help us to have the right attitude, to look at this book as it is, the words of God. And help us to learn by your Spirit. And for the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This is a conversation that Mr. Bunyan, John Bunyan, had. And some of you may have heard this before, but I'm getting this out of the same book I've quoted a number of times. The Word, God Will Keep It. If you can find a copy of that, I think Gail Ripplinger at AV Publications may still sell it. I'm not sure. I know Amazon, I found this copy on Amazon, I believe. Or I might have bought it from Gail Ripplinger's ministry. I can't remember, to be honest. But those are two sources you might look if you want to get a copy. Mr. Bunyan had a dispute with a scholar. Quote, you know, scholar. The scholar says this, the account says, as Mr. Bunyan was upon the road near Cambridge, there overtakes him a scholar that had, and I just have to talk like that when we talk about scholars. They're so snooty and everything. Scholar that had observed him a preacher and said to him, "How dare you preach, seeing you have not the original, being not a scholar?" Then said Mr. Bunyan, "Have you the original?" "Yes," said the scholar. "Nay, but," said Mr. Bunyan, "you have the very self-same original copies that were written by the penmen of the Scriptures, prophets, and apostles?" "No," said the scholar, "but we have the true copies of those originals." "How do you know that?" said Mr. Bunyan. "How?" said the scholar. "Why, we believe what we have is a true copy of the original." "Then," said Mr. Bunyan, "so do I believe our English Bible is a true copy of the original." then away, rid the scholar. That's how you handle them. Don't be shy about telling them what you believe. Tell them what you believe. If they don't like it, they can lump it. And ride off into the sunset weeping. Amen. We got the book. Genesis chapter 13. We left off with comments about the perversion of the words of God in Ezekiel 16, verses 49 and 50. In this case, we were talking about Larry Spargimino of Southwest Radio Church and his article, Gotcha, in the September 2015 Prophetic Observer, and how that he is regurgitating the ridiculous perversions that we heard in the late 80s and early 90s from people like Tony Campolo, who have now since come full out in favor of gay marriage. And this perversion that we spoke of, and if you haven't seen it, you can go back, watch our previous study. And we talked about how the pro-sodomite folks have been, that was less than 35, by the way, and pro-sodomite folks have been abusing the words of Ezekiel by emphasizing verse 49, where we're told that it has something to do with basically them not being hospitable. And they ignore the context. And how many times some of you have had that pounded in your head, and so you remember, you know, context, context, context. Those are the three most important rules when studying the Scripture. And so they read in verse 49, and behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. See? God destroyed Sodom because they wouldn't give to the United Way. That's right. That's not right. Because verse 50 says, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. That last one then has a little colon and it says, therefore. Therefore what? The abomination they committed before me, therefore I took them away as I saw good. Now you won't find God wiping people out because they don't contribute enough to charity or they're not nice enough to strangers. Now those are bad things. We should support the poor. We support charity mission. Pastor Jimmy Hood, Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. I highly recommend that if you want to support an inner city mission and reach out to the poor and reach out to those who are on drugs, send your money down there. They use the money for the right reason. You ought to do that. You ought to be nice to people. You shouldn't be idle. You shouldn't be sitting around doing nothing. And a lot of you people, all you do, play video games, watch your YouTube channels, play the Facebook games, whatever. That's a sin. You're wasting. Now, I'm not saying you should never do that. I'm not saying that. You can take a, 15 minutes, 30 minute break. I mean, my break is I just get up away from everything and walk outside with the puppies. My wife and I go take a little ride somewhere. You know, when we can afford it or whatever, we'll go out to eat and get a bite to eat and be out away from the same four walls. You know, I'm not saying you can't take a break. But man, some of you Christians that I know on Facebook, and some of you, I'm not going to name names or try to get too, specific, but the amount of time spent on that stuff is just, I'm not your judge on that matter. That's you and God. That's none of my concern except to warn you that the Bible doesn't look highly upon an abundance of idleness. And you don't write me letters and say, well, I only do this. I don't want to get into that with you. I don't care enough to talk about that. I have enough problems with Greg Miller. I'm not trying to become your Holy Spirit. But what I'm trying to tell you is you need to be honest with God and understand that abundance of idleness, not being charitable, being full of pride, like the Sodomites have their gay pride parades and all that. Well, all those things, but God didn't wipe people out for those things. He wiped people out because of what he says in verse 50. They were haughty and committed abomination before me. And so we ended our study in verse 13, where it says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the liberals are always run, and I'm not, and even some goofy professing Bible believers will run to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 16, and they'll emphasize verse 49, and sometimes not even quote verse 50. Not even quote it. That's deception. So be careful for those people. And yes, I don't hesitate to say it. That's a real red flag for me, for Larry Spargimino. And I don't know if I told, but I've been to a Bible conference. My wife and I debated which year. I thought it was 2012, maybe it was 2011, 2013, somewhere in there. Down in Bristol, Virginia, where he lectured everybody and said, you shouldn't say mean things about the homosexuals, like God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. That's just uncalled for. I want to stand up and go, I'll say that if I want, Larry. You know what's mean? Is being too nice to people who are living in rebellion and sin against God. This nice act isn't getting us anywhere. It might up your ratings and get you some more money coming in now that Noah Hutchings has passed on so that you can do what you want to do with that ministry. But let me tell you something. That's not the God-called preacher's path to success. The God-called preacher's path to success isn't found in the number of radio stations, the amount of money, and the amount of people who listen to you. Look at Noah. The pathway to success for the God-called preacher is faithfulness to the book. Period. And that's where you find me. So I recommend you memorize that text, or at least remember the reference, Ezekiel 16:49-50. Remember that. Come to these places where it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, and in the footnote, write Ezekiel 16:49-50. Then go back to Ezekiel 16:49-50, and in the margin there, come back to Genesis 13:13, and add the other places like Romans chapter 1 verses 18-32, so that when you get in a conversation or you have a question, you can come to your Bible, open to any of those passages, and in your margin you'll have the other references, and you can flip back and forth and refresh your memory and load your barrel. So verse 14, we continue now, and it says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. You can picture Abram just looking around at this land. By the way, it looked beautiful. It's quite a sight today from what I understand. Haven't been there, seen the pictures, watched the videos. But if you see the pictures, I mean, you just imagine what Abram was looking at. It's a lot of land. But this is just a visual portion of what later God will get more specific about the land. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But it'll get specific about the borders of the land. As a matter of fact, you can go online and do a search. You put in the words borders of promised land Israel. And then you look, if you go into Google and you click on images, you'll see several maps. You got to be careful, they're not all accurate. Some of them are showing you the borders that they actually gained in the Bible. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying look for one that shows from the Euphrates River to the Nile, the river of Egypt, the Nile River, and all points in between outlined on a map. And then you see how small, tiny Israel is today. And you get an idea how just how big the Promised Land really is. Israel's back in the land, but only a tiny portion of what God has promised to them. And you'll notice a huge amount of this that has been promised to them is desert land, but it will be like the garden of God when the promise is fulfilled and Israel gets all their land. And that's a fascinating study. Take time to do sometime. We have messages. You look up on our YouTube channel, we have a playlist about Israel. Several hours of teaching. And I want to look at Genesis 15, 18, 20. We're going to see it in a couple of studies. But over in Genesis 15, just read verse 18. It says, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Just so you know, I'm not making that up. We'll talk more about that when we come to it. So now, verse 15, notice this carefully says, this is God talking, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Now, the anti-Semites, Tex Mars, Louis Farrakhan, Stephen Anderson, Ahmed Ahmadinejad, Chuck Baldwin, David Duke, the Presbyterian Church USA, the KKK, the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Churches of America, Christian Identity, and on and on. All these groups are anti-Semitic, and they've decided, oh, the church has replaced Israel. Israel no longer matters. And they will come back to this text and these promises to Abraham. They'll try to say this promise was only to Abraham. Now, if you've got any reading ability and comprehension at all, you can see that those people are liars. You should turn all of them off. I've had a couple of people write me and say, "Well, I still listen to Stephen Anderson. Some of his stuff is good." Hey, some of the stuff coming out of the Mormon church is good. Some of the stuff coming out of the Jehovah's Witnesses Watchtower program, if you get their Awake magazine, some of the stuff in there is good. Should you subscribe? No. When somebody is so far out that they deny the infallibility of the King James Bible, turn them off. If someone is so far out that they deny the dispensations, I have no use for him as a Bible teacher. I'll read their books sometimes, like Dave Hunt. For some reason, he never did accept dispensations as a framework. But I do believe his research work was beneficial, so I read his books. But if someone is so far out that they deny that Israel is still Israel, that the church is still the church, there are some things where when someone crosses that line, they're out. And then some of the same people will write and be so confused. And I say, listen, there's no shock to me that you're confused. You won't turn off the heretics. You've got to turn them off. And I'm surprised also so many people write and they don't even know what those guys believe and teach. When I tell them, they're shocked. So some people just don't listen carefully. But look at verse 15. It says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it." Period, right? There's a period there, right? There is in these guys, the Bible that Steve Anderson, Tex Mars, and Chuck Baldwin and these guys are reading. They have a period there. My Bible has a comma. And it says, "And to thy seed forever." Now, this is progressive revelation. The Bible progresses in its revelation right up through the book of Revelation. But we will see that this promise to thy seed doesn't go to all of Abraham's seed. He'll have Ishmael, and the promise isn't to Ishmael. And he'll have children by Keturah. After Sarah dies, he has another wife named Keturah and has children. Promise isn't to them. God makes very clear that the promise is from Abraham to Isaac. And then from Isaac, it doesn't go to Esau, it goes to Jacob. And then from Jacob, it goes to the tribes that form under each of his sons, his 12 sons. And we will reiterate that every time we come to this thing because it's that important. That's what this book is about, folks. People think, oh, it's about Jesus loving me. I'm going to go to the Bible and look. And then they realize that most of the Bible isn't about Jesus loving Greg or Jesus loving me. And so that most people today don't read the whole Bible. Because it's not what they want to hear. I want to hear what Jesus has about me. I want to know Jesus loves me. So what do? They go to a handful. I got maybe 15, 20 Bible verses that they quote all the time. And they quote most of them out of context. The one in Jeremiah about, "I know the wonderful plans I have for you, not about you, about Israel." You know, those sorts of things. It's about God putting man on the earth, man blowing it, the fall. Sin passed upon all men, so that death has passed upon all men for all of sin. And so God says, I want to bring about a Messiah who will pay for those sins and rule and reign over the kingdom that I promise through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel. He is the King of Israel. Jesus is the King of Israel. He just hasn't assumed the literal throne yet. David sat on a literal throne, and it's promised that Jesus will sit on a literal throne. If you don't start to get this, the Bible will always remain a confusing mess to you. But once you realize there's a point to all of this, we're not just telling stories about, you know, the Ark, and you know, we're going to talk about the Tower of Babel, and we talk about the children of Israel coming out of Exodus, and there's very important lessons to learn so that you're not mean to your neighbor, and that you do what you're told to by your Sunday school teacher. You know, that's not the point of the Bible. Of course, the Bible has lots to say about being nice to people and all that, but that's not the point of the Bible. God's going to bless you if you believe the gospel, having repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and been born again. You have an awesome future ahead of you if you will live a life that's pleasing to Him for His glory. You will receive great reward and inheritance. You'll live in this millennial kingdom and rule and reign with Jesus. And then when that's all over with, we have all of eternity where we can't even imagine what's ahead. So, yeah, there's a lot that you are going to benefit from, but that's not what the book is about. It's not about you. You have a part in it, but it's about the King and the kingdom and the land. The land, the land, the land. When we're going to see Israel's judged on numerous occasions. What's God do? He kicks them out of the land. He says in verse 16, "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." If a man could... Now, they've done computer guesstimates. That's not what I'm talking about. No one has ever sat down and actually counted each speck of dust on the earth. And God's saying if they could, they'd come to a number that is comparable to the number that of children you are going to have, thy seed. God's going to fulfill that, literally. And it hasn't happened yet. There's a reference in 2 Chronicles 1:9, which is Solomon speaking in hyperbole. But God has never said, this has been accomplished. And that's what you find, the anti-Semites, the anti-Israel, Jew haters, whatever, they'll come back and say, oh, that's already been fulfilled. And no, in each case, it hasn't. And all you have to do is run the references. They say that the book of Joshua ends with them fulfilling the land promise. No, they did not take everything from the Euphrates to the river Nile. And Judges opens up in the first two chapters repeatedly saying that didn't happen under Joshua and so forth. So we continue, verse 17, he says to Abram, "Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." That would be quite a walk to walk around, but this is just, like I said, just a portion of the full promise. Think about it this way. Everything Abram saw, every place he walked and looked around, was going to be part of that promised land. So God didn't lie, but Abram's going to find out here in a couple chapters, we'll find out with him, that it's bigger than just the eye can behold. So then verse 18, "Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord." Now, this is an amazing, if we step back a minute and just look at Abraham and God, it's an amazing relationship that Abraham had with the Lord here. There's nobody on earth at this time that we're reading, And there's nobody on earth alive today that has this kind of relationship with God the Father. If the Pope were anything like what the Catholic Church claims, he would have these kind of conversations with God. He doesn't. Now, the Pope is nothing but a political appointee of man, and he's not saved. He doesn't believe on the death, burial, and resurrection. He's repented of his sins in the sense of repenting toward the Church. And that's not salvation. And the last Pope that died entrusted his soul to Mary. Can you imagine? Mary's wonderful. I love Mary. Can't wait to meet her. But she is a sinner saved by grace, just like you and I. James 2:23, talking about Abraham, said, "And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." Now, they'll take that phrase, Abraham believed God, and try to say, Abraham believed the gospel. That's not what it says. It says that what God told him, Abraham believed. He didn't always even act accordingly. God promised Abraham he's going to do all these things, and we're going to see Abraham doesn't always act in accordance with his faith. And that's a shame, and that's something we need to learn from ourselves. But he did believe God. And it says he believed God in the sense of whatever God said to him, he believed. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, you and I today, what had we better believe? We had better believe that we are sinners, that we are lost and condemned, and that Jesus came that we might have life. And that the condemnation is that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. John 3:19. So we need to repent. And that means repent of those deeds which are evil and keep us from the light. We need to repent of what we are. We are a sinner. We need to repent of having not believed on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you will leave it all behind, repent with your hands in the air, and I don't mean any reference to this nonsense going on with the, you know, hands up, don't shoot nonsense and all that, and Ferguson and all that. That's dated. That's a 2015 thing. But you turn with no reservations. You're not holding on to anything back here. You're not relying on your works. You're not even relying on the fact that you're repenting to save you. You are simply believing God. And God said to do this, so you do it. You turn to God, and you're saved. John 5:15, Jesus said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Just like Abraham has conversation with God, and God's telling him his plans, well, we have access to the same information. It's not a verbal, it's book. But in this book, we have conversations with God. We are given God's plan. And we'll leave off here with Abraham setting up shop, an altar to the Lord, to offer blood sacrifice. He did that everywhere he went because he believed God. And he knows, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.